Good morning. So blessed to be here today. So glad you're here as well. To our visitors, we're so glad you're here. Thanks for being with us and stopping in and encouraging us. We hope we say this morning and do here will be encouraging to you as well. We know we seek to come together to worship God in spirit and in truth, as John 4:24 commands us to do. So we're here to do that. To worship in spirit, in sincerity, and also in truth, according to God's holy and righteous word, God bless. And so we're here today to do that. And for the sermon this morning, I would like for us to have a sermon that simply is about God being good. God is good. Now, if you want an outline of the sermon this morning, you can look at Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. We'll go back to that verse and use this verse as our outline this morning for our sermon, Isaiah 12 and verse 2. Now, Isaiah, for some context, Isaiah means salvation is of Jehovah. That's the name of the prophet, and that's what the name means, and that's what the book really is about. You have two parts in the book. The first half of the book is about chastening, that Israel and Judah both had been falling into sin and error, Israel more than Judah at this time. And so God tells them that the Assyrians were going to come and take them away. And if you remember any history of the book, you see that the northern part of God's people, Israel, the northern tribes, were taken away by Assyria completely. But then he also addresses the fact that Babylon will come and take the southern kingdom as well as time passes. So, northern tribe taken away by Assyria, then Babylon conquers Assyria, and then they come for the southern tribes eventually as well. But Isaiah addresses the fact that even though these things happen because of their own sin, because of their own poor choices, that God will deliver a remnant back to Israel and he'll restore them. So, you have this talked about in the book of Isaiah. Have even Isaiah 7:14 foretells the coming of the Messiah to be born of a virgin. We know that verse very well. And in chapter 12, where we are this morning, this one verse in chapter 12, it speaks, the entire chapter 12 is a hymn of praise. So Isaiah has in it some hymns. Chapter 12 is a hymn of praise of Jehovah. You have that, and this is where we are today. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength, my song. He also has become my salvation. So the first point is simply that God is good because of salvation he provides. Salvation. Now looking back at the verse, we have this emphasis. He says, behold, God is my salvation. Now, we might think of John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, keep in mind here that God provides salvation for those who believe in him. Those who believe in him should not perish. That's important because some believe in God and do perish. Because believe means to trust and follow Jesus. We see there are some that trust in God initially but don't really follow him. They, like John chapter 10 talks about there, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Some start believing but never follow. So John tells us in John 3:16, if you believe in God, you should not perish. If you follow through with that belief, you'll be fine. If you follow through with believing and hearing the word of Jesus and following him, you'll be fine. But some fall short of that. May that be no one here today. But some will start out following Jesus, but then, as the parable of the soils tells us, they will be strangled out by the cares of the world or other things that get in their way. But God is salvation. Secondly, God is courage. God is courage. We see God's my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust and not be afraid. There are so many things in this world that can cause us to be scared. Now, you know, you and I might not admit that to ourselves, but there are things that inwardly, maybe privately, they do scare us a bit. Maybe persecution, if you're a Christian at the time this was written, or in the time of Jesus, rather, or maybe in the time of Isaiah, when they're going to be taken on, they'll be conquered by Assyria, that was a big deal. They were a sovereign nation, they were God's people, and they went away, they fell away, and now God says, you're going to be taken captive by a foreign power and taken away out of the land. But don't worry, salvation's coming. But you're going to go through some things first based on your bad choices. That's a perfect mirror of what we have today. God's our salvation. But sometimes we pay for our bad decisions. Physically speaking, we make bad decisions as people, fall into certain sins that bring us punishment, bring us shame, bring us hurt. And maybe even as a people where our nation is not what it once was. Our nation has been strong for a long time. But even now there are things that on the horizon that are very possible that are very foreboding. Maybe things like wars we're kind of halfway involved in now. Not completely yet. Hopefully that won't happen. It could happen. Our financial system, which has been on top of the world for decades and decades and decades, we now see signs that the dollar is weakening and may very soon collapse completely. So be warned of that. I'm talking about it a bit in the news and things like that. Hopefully it won't happen, but it could. So we've been on top for a long time. But even if bad things happen, if we get into war and our economy collapses, God's still our salvation. And be of strong courage. Know that God's with us as long as we serve Him. In fact, what can prevail against God? Nothing can. Even though we have dips in our lives, we have times of blessing and things that aren't so great sometimes. If we trust in God, it'll be okay. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Now that word acknowledge there means to trust and act like God is who He says He is. I like to look up words as I study and prepare sermons. I like to take these one or two verse sermons sometimes, or maybe a few verses, and look at the words, what they mean. And Proverbs, as this is a reference back to Isaiah 12:2, he's saying, acknowledge God. Not just know He exists, but act like He exists. And that's a great point for you and me. When things get hard, when our way seems cloudy, trust God. Acknowledge God. Believe that He is who He says He is and act that way. Because sometimes we have troubles and trials and difficult times coming up. Maybe with family, with work, with things in general. And we say we believe in God, but we don't act like it. We get worried, we get down far too easily and for far too long. We get discouraged. The devil tells us things are bad and we believe it. And forget that God gives the ultimate victory, amen? God gives the victory. So we believe in God, we acknowledge God, we trust Him. We don't lean not to our own understanding. We follow God and let God direct our paths. Direct our paths at work. Direct our paths with family. Direct our paths personally in the things we desire, the things we want. Follow God. Have courage to follow God. Isaiah tells us to have courage, and Proverbs backs that point up perfectly. Number three, strength. God is good because God provides us courage and then strength. Back to chapter 12, verse 2 of Isaiah. Behold, God's my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength. What's my source of strength? Now, there are a million self-help books on the market that give good tips about how to get through life or get how to conquer certain things or learn certain things. That's fine. You want to be a better, more confident person? There are self-help books that are very helpful. But ultimately, for a child of God, God is my strength. He's where I draw from. In Psalm 28, underlines this in verse 7 and 8. Now, David here talks about a time in his life when things were bad. There were times in David's life where things were bad. We have the death of his firstborn with Bathsheba, who got into a very bad mess with her and then committed adultery, and then he killed his friend Uriah to cover it up. It was a very bad time. Then Absalom, his son, took over the kingdom and kicked David out of Jerusalem for a while. David had bad things happen. We could go through more things, the things that happened in David's life that were horrible. His family fell apart. Did terrible things to each other and to him. So David had a rocky time with family. But in Psalm 28, in the midst of this terrible time, or one of these terrible times, I don't know which episode of David's life that talks about exactly, but he says, the Lord's my strength and my shield. He said, God protects me even in a time of utter turmoil and horrible things. David says, God's my shield. God's my strength. My heart trusts in him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. Again, even in the context of this psalm, in terrible times. My heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is a saving refuge of the anointed. Now, notice in these two verses, he says, God is my strength as a person, and God is their strength, talking about Israel. So here in this two verses, we see, hey, you know what? God is my strength. And also, all God's people, he's their strength too. Friends, that's what we're doing here today. We're here hopefully because God is your strength individually. You read God's word, you follow God's word, you have an influence for family, for friends, from maybe just worship in general, from the sermons and things like that. So you decide, I, as a person, am going to follow God. God's my strength, but also in our corporate worship, God is our strength. We're a people because of God's strength in us, because of God's blessing us, because he's made provision for us through the cross. We're God's people. That's important. We're an influence in our area, in the world. But only because God's my strength. When my faith is strong, it helps the body. When the body's strong, it helps people outside the body see what God is and see the light of God's word. But if the church, if everyone in the church, if their faith was strong as my faith individually, question, would the church be stronger or weaker? How can I make my faith stronger so I can serve God's people and make their faith stronger and make their lives better? And reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because God came to save. And we're the extension of that measure that God saves. God is good. Do people look at our lives in every day at work family, around town, and see from our lives that we think God is good? Or do they look at us and say, well, God is meh? Or my life's terrible. God is bad because my life's terrible, so meh, horrible, bad. When people see you and I, do they say, listen, these are a people, this is a person, who even though things aren't great for them all the time, they act like God is good, God blesses them, God loves them, God provides for them. Let me tell you. We all have things we can fuss about. I do, you do too. But you know, Friday, I was able to go to Austin and be part of my grandson's first birthday. Isn't that great? Little Jack, 1 year old, time flies. And we got there to see little Jack. And he had a shirt on that said, Big Brother. Another was on the way. Great blessing, fabulous, fantastic. My daughter tells me that this was not quite expected like they wanted it to be, but God bless. God is so good. Our lives, we could all say things about our lives that aren't good. We could all say things, well, I have this, this, and this, and this gripe about my life. Maybe these things about the church aren't like I want exactly. But look at the things in our lives that are great blessings to thank God for. We are so blessed. God is so good. And if things aren't the way we want them, we can make them better. If we want the church to be stronger, we can make it stronger. If we want the church to be bigger, we can evangelize and restore those that are fallen. We have the power to do that through God's blessing and God's strength. But now fourth, there is a song. God is good because of song. And look back at Isaiah 12. Behold, God's my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. God's my song. What's that mean exactly? Well, look at Psalm 40, verse 3. It's a good commentary in Isaiah 12, too. He's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. There's a lot to unpack in that verse. But to make it very brief, watch this song in David's mouth. Praise to our God. I will praise God. That's the song. This is the song I have to praise God. What's my song? We all like songs. Songs have the power to take us back in time to a certain time and place we associate with a certain song. Now the young ones might not get this yet, but the older ones will. You can hear a song on the radio or maybe on your playlist if you have a playlist on your phone or some device. And you hear a certain riff of a guitar or you hear a melody or you hear the words of a song and your mind's taken back immediately to a certain time and place where that thing marked you. There was even a study done a few years ago about people in our older folks' homes. They call it old folks' homes. And they did a study where they took all the blood work and these people and had baseline tests of the current health. You know, they were in a home that they weren't in great health. And for a period of about a month, I think it was, they all dressed in attire from their younger years when they were like teenagers in high school or maybe in college just after college. So they got clothes for the people in the home to dress up like they were when they were younger. They had music on the radio all the time from different areas when they were younger, teenagers and 20s and 30 years old. And they did things and talked about things at that time period. They put pictures up and things about yesteryear, and that music, that even watch videos of old TV shows, things like that. After a month or so, they took blood tests again. And you know, all of their blood tests improved because their mind going back to a place of their youth and their vitality made them feel better. Even made their health improve to some degree. Their brains were tricked a bit and thinking, hey, I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm good. So songs matter. Songs make a difference in their lives. If we dwell on bad things, if our song is bad things, it affects us. But David said, the song I have in my mouth is praise to God. My song is praising God. So what's that do to you? When your song's praising God, that makes you more want to praise God. If you talk about bad things and your song's about bad things, that'll make you heavy and hard to be around, heaven forbid. But if our song's about praising God, it makes our whole attitude change for something better. I've heard stories about how just wearing a smile, even if your heart is crying, that wearing a smile can actually improve your mood. If things are bad, if things are grumpy, if you're grumpy, if you're not really happy about something going on, if you take the time just to smile, that if you do that and practice that, that can make your attitude better for the rest of the day. And those around you, if you don't scare them by a creepy smile, rather, they can see that and also be uplifted by your smile. So our things we do affect other people, they also affect us. So if our song is about praising God, it makes ourselves happier and better. And also, many will see it and fear. So if they see us oppressed and then have going through bad things and still smiling through it and happy about serving God in it, will cause them to say, who is this God? And who are these people that in the midst of bad things still have the song of praising God? It can change our heart. And also maybe it causes others to see us and say, listen, there's something special about these people. One man once said, the true mark of Christianity is not a sigh, but a song. That when we're cheerful, when we have a song in our heart to God to show that we love Him and that we are a different kind of person, even in the worst of times. Now, Colossians makes this point about singing. Paul writes to them, he says, to the church at Colossae, going through hard things as well, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let His word teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, this verse tells us that singing is about teaching. So all our songs should teach a truth. Now, some songs that we have in our songbooks say things that aren't right. We don't sing those, do we? I know here we're pretty careful about the songs we sing, make sure we sing songs that just teach truth and teach it accurately. Also, you'll see that singing is about teaching. Now, teaching is with words. Now think about this briefly with me, if you would. I know our day and time, and also going back several years now, there's something very popular among some congregations that's vocal bands. Now, vocal bands, a cappella bands, or sometimes just sing words with that music or that instrumental music, that's fine. But sometimes these are people with great talent who will take their voice and make the sound of drums or trumpets, things like that. They're not actually using a mechanical instrument, but just use their voice. So they are making sounds like drums and trumpets and other things with just their voice. And sometimes we take those songs, isn't that awesome? How they can, not using a mechanical instrument like a guitar or a piano or whatever, or bongo, drum, but they can make it sound like that and still sing hymns. That's amazing. But friends, it doesn't fit with this verse, does it? What's being talked about? Singing. With what? Teaching. What teaches? Words teach. Not sounds, but words teach. Go back to Noah's day. God told Noah, build an ark out of what? Gopher wood. Now, the general category is wood. Not metal, not mud, but wood. But now, could he use any kind of wood? No, he used gopher wood. Why? Because that was what God said do, that's why. Why not any kind of other wood? Because God said gopher wood. Now friends, when God specifies a thing, he means it. So when God said gopher wood, that automatically excluded all kinds of other things like oak or ash wood, or even other things like metal or mud, not wood at all. So when it comes to our singing, we're to teach the truth. So our singing needs to teach truth. It needs to teach. Not just make sounds that sound like something else, but actual words. We're to have a God, we're to have a praise of God in our hearts, or in our, we're to use these words to teach God's truth, and we're to have praise of God. When we sing these hymns, we realize these songs are an offering to God. Now, sometimes we think our songs are just like, well, you know, it's just, I got to do it, so I'm going to come, I'm going to mouth the words, or maybe not even sing at all. Wrong! We're praising God. We're praising the God of heaven, amen? So you may have a voice like mine that can't carry a tune in a bucket. Ask my wife. But do I sing? Guess I have to. And I guess I'm like everybody else. Sometimes when I know a song and I really like a song, I'll sing a bit louder. I guess I'm guilty of sometimes not really putting my heart into it like I should. But God, with no regard to your voice talent, says, sing praises unto me, the God of heaven, that with the word of his mouth made all things. The God of heaven, who seeing man sin of his own accord and making a plan to bring a redeemer to save mankind, sent his own son on the cross to die for my sins. That God took the form of flesh and suffered for me and died for me on the cross. That God says, worship me in spirit and in truth. Amen. So we worship God with our heart because God says, sing to me. God is our song. The song in our mouth is to praise him. So we do that. And point number five. Deliverance. Isaiah 12:2 again. He also, this God is my strength, my song. He also has become my salvation. He is my salvation. You might think of Micah 7, verse 7 and 8. Micah, also a book, a minor prophet, about the idea of God's judgment on Israel. I think he was contemporary with Isaiah, as a matter of fact. But he says, therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. He'll be a light to me. I may go down temporarily, but I will not stay down as a child of God. I won't do it. As Christians today, we stumble, we fall sometimes, but we should not stay down. We get discouraged temporarily. I won't stay that way. I will rise up. I will get confused. I will get discouraged. I will open God's word and let it light my life, and I will walk in his paths. Remember 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, his blood will cleanse us from our sins continually. Being a child of God means I will walk in God's light when I get down, when I get discouraged, when I get in doubt. I will keep on shining God's light in my life, and I'll walk in that light because it's a path for me. When things seem dark, without hope, God gives us light. God gave light through his word. It's there for me to draw on all my life. When I have health problems, family problems, again, work, cultural problems, God is my God. He makes a way for me. I will not trust my own paths, but I will trust in God's steps, and I'll walk in his paths. God is good. Now, deliverance. God being a fortress in our lives. God being our strength. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I had my own bedroom. Now, some of you didn't understand that, but I was the last child. I was the child out of due season, as I said before. I had a brother 15 years older, a sister 5 years older. And when I came along, my mom didn't think she could have any more, but I appeared, right? And so I had my own room because my older brother was gone out of the house by the time when I was old enough. And when I was a kid, I remember, like most kids, I was scared of the dark. Didn't have night lights. You didn't have that at that time. At least we didn't have it in my room. And I remember at night sometimes, Keith, I'd hear scratching. I was a little kid in the dark. I'd hear scratching. Later I found out we had some mice in the roof. And the mice would come out at night sometimes and just kind of scratch over my room where I could hear it. And I would lose my mind. Mom would say, go back to bed, boy. And I would. I got to when I heard the scratching, I was scared. But I knew a superpower that every kid knows. When you're scared of anything, there are monsters in your room, do what? Cover up. Every kid knows that's a superpower, and you can be safe and protected by that cover over your head. Just like that, friends, this morning, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, Romans 8, 1 and 2. In Christ, the refuge, we saw that already in Isaiah 12, verse 2. In Romans chapter 8, we see today, in Romans 8, we see there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Those in Christ who walk not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. By the teachings of Jesus, there is salvation. There is no condemnation at all. And so the point of this lesson, the very simple point is that God is good. You might see this talked about again, at least reflected from Isaiah 12 to James chapter 1, verse 18, where James puts it like this to encourage people. He says, of his own will be brought us forth by the word of truth, that he might make us the first fruits of his creatures. Now, remember in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, this being a first fruit of his creatures describes us what that means. He says, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, also we should be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, verse 3 says we're baptized into Christ. We're also baptized into his death, verse 4. Verse 5 says, if we've been baptized into Christ, if we're by the gospel, if we have been united together in likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. For if we've been planted together with him in his death, We shall rise again in the resurrection. That is good news. You know why? Because God is good. Romans 6:16, just a few verses later, says that, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience unto righteousness?" This word "present" that's highlighted in the screen above me means to offer yourself. It's the idea of giving a sacrifice. Now, what Paul says here is we all present or offer ourselves to something. We give our time, our body, our talents to something. It may be of sin and death. It may be pursuing our own things, our own will, or it can be serving God. You can serve yourself and serve sin, or you can serve God. But we all present ourselves to something. Paul says, hey, first of all, and first foremost, present yourself to God. In your work, in your life, in your family, in your culture, present yourself to God and let God in your life reflect all these things or be reflected to all these things. He says, you Roman culture, who are steeped in sin, God be thanked that you were the slaves of sin, be obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, that pattern of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. He goes, you're going to serve something, but you obeyed the doctrine. You obeyed it. And now you're the slaves of God. You're going to serve something, so serve God. Now, again, the last verse. So, Robert, get ready. He says, since you purified your souls, how? Through a prayer. Through a wish? No. Through an altar call? No. You've purified your souls in obeying the truth. Through the Spirit, because the Spirit teaches us what to do. In sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently. See, the individual part is we obey God. That means we love each other fervently. That we are God's people. We serve God individually and collectively. Amen. I'm so glad I'm here with you today. I'm so glad you affect my life and my family's life. I'm so glad for you. And if you're here not a child of God, I want to encourage you to become one and be part of God's collective family. But you got to obey Him first. You got to take the doctrine, which Paul talked about in chapter 6, and you got to obey that doctrine. And Peter says like this, you purify your souls in obeying the truth. You're purified by obeying the truth. Through the teaching of the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again. Not of corruptible things that change, but by the incorruptible Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So this morning, I hope in some way this idea of God being good in Isaiah 12:2 has encouraged you in some way to want to serve God more fully, to be encouraged by others around you who serve God and take encouragement from them and try to be more like them, or try and work together to make the world a better place, to teach God's truth to people who want to hear it, who will hear it, even though it might bring you sometimes some disdain or some discouragement. Know that you're serving God, and God will put a song in your heart of praising Him. But friends, we stand for something bigger and better. God's Word does not change. It's incorruptible. We serve a God whose Word doesn't change. Now, I know there are people who try and change God's Word all the time. We live in a culture which tries to change this and change that and change the Word of what truth is, what a man is, what a woman is. All these things are pliable, I guess. God's Word, throw it out one day and another day it might be okay. But But God says, my word does not change. Do you want to serve a God whose word does not change? There's no surprises. Judgment will not be, there will be no surprise in judgment. I know some people will be surprised, but God's word makes it that you can be sure of your salvation. You can make sure you're serving him. Have you obeyed the truth? Have you been buried to Christ in baptism? So if you've been done that, Romans 6, you can be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If you have a need this morning to obey the gospel, or if you have a need to respond to the invitation in any way, ask for the prayers of church, maybe even to be restored if you've fallen away. Be restored this morning if that's your need. If not, please come as we send the thing this